talking about demonology, the devil and demons. And so, with the time we have left, let's get back there. Amen. And we told you last time that God began with power on heaven and earth, and he gave earth power to man. Mm-hmm. The devil was kicked out unceremoniously, retired without a pension. Or 401k, you know that. So he came down to the garden and stole some stuff from Adam and Eve. And that's what he's been operating on. Where is glory to God. Thank you, Father. So I told you that the way it worked in the garden is the way it has to work. In other words, it would not have worked for the devil if Adam and Eve had not cooperated. They cooperated is why it works. So today, man that does not cooperate with the devil can't have him affect their life. What power the devil exercises was stolen from man. Amen. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man our image, our likeness. I told you it wasn't just about looks. Huh? Let's make him like us. Huh? And then God delegated authority, power on the earth to man. That's the only legitimate holder of power on this earth. Man, not the devil. Amen. And thank you, Lord. I told you that if that were not the case, the devil would not have to be a deceiver. Right? Mm-hmm. You have to deceive and be cunning because you can't outrightly state what you want to have it done. When you have power, you don't have to get into all of that. You can just say what you want and it be done. Amen. If that were not the case, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, he would not have to seek whom he may devour. He would just devour everybody along his way. If that were not the case, he would not have to be a liar. A liar is someone who's trying to get their way, in a way that blindfolds the people they're dealing with. If you have power, you don't have to do that. It takes your cooperation. It takes the cooperation of man. So let's talk more about power. This is where we start today. Before the resurrection, the process of returning the power that the devil stole from man began. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, let's look at that. Acts 10:38. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So when Jesus came down here to carry his ministry, he was endowed with power from God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And that power then enabled him to go about doing good and healing. Okay? And then in Luke chapter 10, Jesus gave the disciples some of his power to operate in. Again, the process of getting power back to man. Okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Again, when it says devils, it really means demons. There's only one devil. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was kicked out. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and so forth. And over all the power, and I'll make a comment on that. That when it says all the power of the enemy, it's a lying power. Signs and wonders. Lying signs and wonders. Depending on your cooperation. And so before the resurrection, God anointed Jesus. Jesus gave some of that power to the disciples, and they went on and did some things for the kingdom. After the resurrection, Jesus had gone to the cross, was raised, and got that power back, got all power back. This is why the book of Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 2, verse 14, talks about, let's go there. Hebrews 2, 14, talks about the devil having the power, who had the power of death, which means he doesn't have it anymore, right? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, this is how he did it, he might destroy him that had, H-A-D, don't have it anymore, had the power of death. Why? Because it's been taken away from him. Been taken away from him. And as you know, Jesus declared, that all power, look at Matthew 28. All power in heaven, on earth. Why did he say it that way? Because just to put it more bluntly, the Godhead had lost power on earth because they gave it to Adam and Adam gave it to the devil. And he was running the show unchallenged. Matthew 28, look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, ooh, glory, is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's talking, ask Jesus now. Ask the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He had all power, but he became man. Went to the cross and was given power, and that power is invested in his name. All power. Hallelujah. So compare that to, put your finger there, go to Luke chapter 4. When the devil tempted Jesus, he told Jesus, you know, Luke chapter 4, look at verse number, let's start from 5. And the devil took him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, okay? So compare all this power with all power. There's a difference, is it not? Mm-hmm. All this power compared to all power. In other words, the devil was saying, I have this particular power to do this, but I don't have all power. Jesus said, all power, heaven and earth, given to me. He got it back. He got it back. Thank you, Lord. And so then Jesus, in Matthew 28, go back to Matthew 28. What Jesus did in Matthew 28 was to reenact what God had done in Genesis 1:26. Huh? So go to Genesis 1:26. Put your finger on Matthew. We'll come back there. Genesis 1:26. This is when God gave man all earth power. Genesis 1. Let us make a man in our image. Again, remember, our image doesn't just mean mirror image. It means more than that. It means like us. Likeness. Let him have dominion. Oh, yeah. That's the grant of earth power. Let him have dominion over the fish and so forth. And then you go to verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it at the grant of power. Grant of earth power. subdue it, have dominion over it, a grant of earth power. And so in Matthew 28, go over there. Jesus is reenacting Genesis 1, 26 and 27, 28. When he says, verse 18, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye. Go ye in that power. That's what he was saying. It's given to me and I'm giving it to you. Giving it back to you, you might say. Hallelujah. Go ye, therefore. Huh? What's the therefore? Therefore, because of what he said earlier, I've got all this power. I want you to go in because of what I've got. I want you to go in the midst of all that power because you have it. I'm giving it back to you. And then it says, as you read that verse 20, and I'll be with you forever unto the ends of the earth. So he was reenacting Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. So, if he has all power, if Jesus has all power, how much of that is left? Does the devil have some? And he has some? Huh? Oh no, he has all power, which means all of it. All of it. In heaven and earth, he said. The devil didn't leave heaven with power. He was kicked out ignominiously, without any endowment of power. All the power he operates is power he stole from Adam and Eve. So Jesus grants them, re-grants them power, and then it says the book of Acts, okay? He tells them to go ye. But then it says, however, wait, not just yet. Wait until this happens. Book of Acts chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, so forth. Okay? And then it says, verse 8, you shall receive power. Wait until you receive this endowment of Holy Ghost power. Then go in it. So, if all power is given to Jesus, then there's no power left for the devil. Except what he can bamboozle out of humans, including believers. A minister went into a religious temple and saw some. Have you noticed how frightening, how ugly some of those idols are? This one idol has 10 arms and just arms sticking all over the place. Ugly, grotesque looking stuff. So he said, how can this thing help you? Talking to the minister of the temple. Minister said, the temple guy said, let me show you. hey, let me just read that. I'm trying to save time, but it says, the spirit of that idol is elsewhere right now. Well, I want to serve God who is everywhere present, don't you? It's like Elijah taunting the prophets of Baal, saying, keep praying some more. Maybe your God is taking a nap. He says, the spirit of that idol is elsewhere right now. Nah, here's the key. But if I were to bring incense and food and place it before that idol and start praying, something will start to happen. So who is really the mover and the shaker here? The man is. Yeah. He doesn't know what he's been deceived to think there's something in the idol. But nothing happens until he brings worship. In fact, it says, it wants worship. The idol wants worship. And it's completely powerless until he gets it. Why? Because the real power is coming from the human being. Devil has no power, except he can steal it from you. He says, quote, if I come and kneel here, and I offer an offering, and burn incense, or candles, immediately the spirit comes and communicates with me.
Where is he?
I'm reading, this is what, this is not the Bible. this is what a priest of a temple said to this minister. who went in there to visit. I wouldn't go in there, but he did. He was wanted some questions answered, and so these are the things that the person was telling him. If I bring this idol, he said, how can this idol help you? If not, the idol is ugly. How can it help you? The minister says, well, nothing's happening right now. But if I do certain things, then some stuff starts to happen. So who has the real power here? The man does. But he's been deceived into thinking that the idol does. And yet, he's telling the gospel preacher, if I bring food and I start to burn some candles and start to do some recite some stuff, then I get some communication. Now let me end up this. My time's up. Let me show you how to get real communication. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. You want real spiritual supernatural communication? Oh my. Here it is. Thank you, Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians. You want to know? Woo! 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse number 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. You know what that means? It means you're dipping your bucket into the wisdom of God to get information about what's been a mystery to you. Hallelujah. And as you pray in the spirit, impressions are formed in your mind. A scripture might come to your mind and give you direction. Something your pastor said might come up to you. The teacher, Bible teacher that you've listened to might come up to you. You get direction as what to do. That's real spirit communication. Not this demonic stuff about burning candles and all kinds of stuff like that. When the real power is coming from you anyway. Amen. My goodness, I'm out of time. The Spirit was using the man's earth power to manifest. The man did not know that. And what spirits do is only possible because humans, I talk about demonic spirits do now, it's only possible because humans yield their authority to them. Why do they do that? To gain power. That's why people do that. Witches, folks like that, they want power. They want to control people. And they know God won't go for that. God doesn't control people, and he's not going to help you control anybody. He won't do it. If you want to control people, you got to go get it from the devil. You got to give him your faith and have him, do all that. And so that's what witches really do. That's what it's all about. It's about power. Amen. But oh, we have Holy Ghost power. To do good with. To help people. Yes. Not curse them. Not bring their picture somewhere and stick pins and so on to them. We lay hands on them and say, be healed. That's the difference. Father, we thank you. Oh, glory. We bless you. We thank you for further revelation about these things. We have to know how to be a blessing to folks around us. How to tap into your realm, the realm of goodness, and manifest it in this realm. For the devil is all over the place trying to create chaos. We are the difference makers. Thank you, Lord. For your wisdom, your knowledge, to help be folk. We praise you, we bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Fred, do you know him? He wants to be acquainted with you. Again, he doesn't control people. He will only come into your life if you want him to. You have to invite him. You have to invite him. If you don't, he will stay on the sidelines. So why don't you invite him today? Invite Jesus into your heart, into your life. I can tell you, you will never regret it. I don't know a Christian that regrets being born again. All of us don't live up to the mark always. Sometimes we do, but not always. That's our regret as Christians. So you won't regret ever giving your life to Jesus. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Everything. So do so today. Don't put it further. Okay? Hallelujah. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you for leading me and guiding me in all the areas of my life. Thank you for leading me and guiding me to a local church, a body of believers where I can fellowship and be taught the word. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I receive my prayer language. I can communicate with you and get insights into the mysteries of life in the name of Jesus. I praise you for it. And I thank you for it. Amen, amen. If you pray that prayer, you did exactly what he said. Came into you. Begin to lead and guide you. One of the first things he'll try to do is lead you to a body of believers. And this one, you can join us here every Sunday, 9:30. If not, keep watching, because we'll be back right this same time next week. Amen. I'm prompted to add this. I teach I'm quite bold about pronouncements and so on. And I kind of alluded to it a little bit, but thoughts might come to your mind. They come to mind. Well, maybe us also. Why don't you use those principles and grow this church? Well, it has to do with human beings can't be controlled.